Pastor Ray Bentley says real friendship loves, even when it's inconvenient.
Human nature is when people are going through really rough times, I won't call them for a while, won't visit them for a while. Let them get through this rough patch and then we'll hook up and have great times later. Someone has well said that the definition of a friend is that the one who walks in the door the very same day that everyone else walked out the door. That's a real friend.
Spreading the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Some people are ashamed of their faith. They're too inhibited to be obvious Christians. Yet when you think about it, Jesus had every right to be ashamed of sinners like us. Yet he died for us. Today, Pastor A reminds us what a friend we have in Jesus, who died for us while we were yet sinners.
Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. The title of the message is, Love is Patient. So look with me, beginning in verse 8 of chapter 1. Paul says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. I like that. Paul doesn't say, I'm Rome's prisoner. He says, no, I am the Lord's prisoner. In other words, I wouldn't be here unless it was God's will. And God prophesied to me and told me, I'm going to preach the gospel to the face of Caesar. And Paul knew that would cost his life, but at least he would say, I talked to the most powerful man on the planet and I shared the gospel with him. What he does with the message, whether he, you know, how he responds is between him and God. But he did do that. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Again, here was a, you know, Jewish Pharisee who became a believer and then was sent by God to the Gentiles to share the gospel. So Paul is basically saying, Timothy, look, Timothy, it's important for you right now, at this very important time, for such a time as this, stand tall for the gospel. Don't be afraid, and don't be ashamed of Jesus. And then in verse 12, look with me. He says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Which is a fancy way of saying, Paul saying, I'm staking my eternal future on this. And I am even willing, if this is the price of clinging to the love of God and the message of the love of God through the cross, and the result of that is I'm in prison, so be it. If there are some people that just can't handle that and oppose it and want to persecute me, so be it. If I end up being executed for it, so be it. For this reason, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed of Jesus. I am not ashamed of the love of God. You see, now that Paul was in prison, there were some teachers who were actually saying to get people to come follow them in a new movement, a new wing of what they would call Christianity, is that, look, Paul is in prison because he won't let go of that cross thing. And in fact, if the Holy Spirit was really with him, then he wouldn't be in jail. Or he'd be delivered miraculously somehow. And there were some in the Ephesian church, which is where Timothy was pastoring, who felt Paul's suffering and imprisonment were proof the Holy Spirit was not even with Paul. To them, Paul's suffering and imprisonment in Rome were due to a lack of faith that he would not let go of this message of the cross, and thus the Holy Spirit disapproved of him and let him go to prison and rot and ultimately die. But Paul stands to tell Timothy, don't give in to unfounded shame. Stand tall, stand firm. I am in prison, but I am not ashamed. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 is in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I have here in your notes, suffering is the price of intimacy. I have a confession to make. I don't like, are you listening? Confession time. I do not like to suffer. Not much of a confession, is it? Is anybody with me? Is anybody like not into it, not into pain and suffering? Good. Neither am I. And I, you know, I used to shrink from suffering in just about any way I possibly could. And, you know, in a way, without consciously thinking about it, I was pursuing a crossless Christianity. Oh, yes, I understood the cross and the gospel and the message and believing and trusting in Jesus and what he had done for me. I believed in Jesus' cross. I guess I didn't so much believe in my own. It'd be one thing if I could die as a martyr. If somebody, you know, they put a gun at your head or something, look, either deny this whole Christian thing or we're going to take your life. Well, okay, I can't. Jesus is Lord, and if that's what it is, okay, I could be a martyr. It's much harder for me to die a little bit every day the rest of my life. That's the tough part. Where Jesus said, if you would follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow after me. I don't like to suffer. And after all, didn't Jesus suffer for us? So why do I have to suffer too? I don't like pain. There's a man named Brother Lawrence who was a monk. He lived in a monastery. He was not a famous bishop. He did not write great theological, you know, books. He was the cook, a very mundane daily routine. And he only wrote one tiny, it's the skinniest little book you could ever imagine. And yet it has touched untold multitudes of Christians for several hundreds of years. It is called The Practice of the Presence of God. And I recommend if you ever get a chance to read it. It is so powerful, this simple little volume. But he wrote these words. As he got older, he started suffering increasingly from physical ills. He says, love eases pain. And when one loves God, one suffers for him with joy and with courage. Again, he writes, my pains and sufferings would be a paradise to me if I suffer them with God. And yet the greatest pleasures would be a hell if I enjoyed them without him. All of my solace is to suffer something for him. He began to realize that you cannot escape suffering in a fallen world, in a broken world. Everybody, it's inevitable. Everybody suffers. The fact of the matter is, every last one of you, if we could sit down and just spend maybe 5-10 minutes together, and I could ask you just a few questions about your life, invariably we would find all of us are suffering in some capacity, every single one of you. There's some of you that are suffering physically. Oh yes, here you are, and you came to church, and you may even on the outside look and appear to be all right, but there can be inwardly things broken and wrong physically that are chronic or that are not going to get better and that can last for years, and you suffer with that. There are others who suffer not physically. There's some people who would say, oh, I can handle physical suffering. It's that emotional pain that I can't handle. I can't stand it. And it twists you up and it breaks you up on the inside. You suffer emotionally when things aren't right or when there's problems or when there's conflict. And then there are others mentally. We live in an age of anxiety, as it's been described, and for obvious reasons. We know too much. Knowledge is increasing at such a rapid rate. And I think we have found, or hopefully one of the things we're learning is that knowledge alone is not the secret of life. It doesn't give answers just because you know more. We've never known more than we know now. And we're unraveling the genetic code. And yet, we still haven't figured out how to not kill people and murder and rape and violence and plunder and war and all the rest. I mean, and, you know, human nature has these problems. So there are some who wrestle with anxiety and suffer mentally. There's all kinds of different suffering. So, and just because you become a Christian doesn't mean it goes away. God does heal, but he doesn't always heal. Paul had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed three times, take it away. And God said, no, that my grace might be sufficient. He left it. Sometimes God leaves some things in our lives. So what do we do with that measure of suffering? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 is in your notes. Let's read this scripture out loud together. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. The whole, you know, there's nothing better than getting closer to Jesus, and there's nothing that gets us closer to Jesus than the things that we suffer. Suffering brings us out of ourselves to cry out for help. And not only first to God to cry out to him, but also to cry out to one another. Fellowship. Suffering forces us, because there's something about sin that we like to be alone. Ultimately, hell is being alone for eternity. All the people that talk, laugh and say, oh, I'm going to be in hell with all my buddies. Well, it doesn't strike me as a fun place to begin with. But then secondly, you are going to be lonely. In other words, there's two journeys. If the spiritual journey is out of yourself into a relationship with God, the only other alternative is to go inward into yourself, where you kind of worship yourself anyway. And in eternity, going within that never is satisfying to begin with, because you weren't made that way, you weren't designed that way. That is a great description of a hell with a fire that is never satisfied or quenched. Romans 8:17, let's read this scripture out loud. Indeed, we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Circle the word share. Now, let me just make a few observations. When I resist suffering, all of my relationships become shallow and unfulfilled. Let me say that again. When I resist suffering, how do you do that? By running away from it, ignoring it, pretending it's not happening, numbing it, medicating it, whatever. When I resist suffering, all of my relationships, either with God or with other people, become shallow and unfulfilled. The message of the Bible is to embrace the suffering. Not that suffering is anything good or holy in itself, but to embrace it as, okay, I am suffering. In other words, to me, the Christian message is realistic. Hey, let's not pretend anymore. This is a tough place. Life is hard, and then you die. And there's a lot of suffering between now and then. But let's embrace the reality of it. Let's call suffering for what it is. Suffering has a way of drawing, it can, the good aspect of it, draw me out of myself to say, I need my Heavenly Father. Help, Daddy. That's why I think God loved David so much. David was the ideal of what God wants a human being to be, and when he's suffering, is cry out, help, ouch, ouch, help, and crying out. And immediately, God loves, just like a parent loves to respond to a child who reaches out. But one who resists and turns and withdraws within and never accepts any help and hardens is difficult to have a relationship with, obviously. If suffering can draw us closer to God, it can also draw us closer to others. And too often we are fair-weather friends of Jesus. We like his peace and joy and healing and blessings. But to suffer, we're like Peter, never, Lord, may this never happen to you. I have a feeling that Peter was not really so worried about Jesus as he was thinking of himself. Because surely Peter reasoned, wait a minute, we're following you. If you go to the cross, that means we have to go to the cross, and we don't want to do that. There are, and again, I don't think this is conscious, but maybe on a subconscious level. We reason, if I get close to others who are suffering, won't their suffering rub off on me? Don't I have enough suffering and pain on my own? And herein lies the grand illusion, for there is no such thing as pain of our own. If you have a pen or pencil, write this down. All suffering is communal. If you suffer, it does affect people around you. You cannot suffer alone without it impacting people. You can try, but it doesn't really work. We were not made that way. Just as love must be shared, so also God desires that suffering is something that we share in dependence upon Him and dependence upon others. If we would share others' joys, we must also share their sorrows. There are a lot of people that are unfulfilled and have shallow friendships, and the reason that they have shallow friendships is they only want to have the good times with the people. But when your friend is going through like really bad times and depression and, you know, horrible things and physical, it's like, oh, gee, I just can't be around that. I'll wait till they get better, and then we'll hook up and we'll have a good time. If you do that, you are living a very, very thin veneer, shallow human experience. God doesn't want it to be like that. He wants us to, when someone is suffering, it affects you, yes. But guess what? If you get close to somebody who suffers, you're not going to die. You may break your heart, but you know what? That's not a bad thing to have happen. God wants your heart to be tenderized. That's why as we all get older and we begin caring and loving for our parents and so forth, it's a healthy, humbling, breaking process that tenderizes us it stretches our hearts to a tremendous and greater capacity of love. The other thing is that to the degree that you share in the pain and suffering of others, the deeper it goes, you have just created that much capacity now on the other side of a joy that goes off the charts. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do not allow yourself out of fear to live in a narrow, thin, shallow level. Don't do it. Don't give in to it. Therefore, the message of the gospel is treat suffering as a friend. Because when we embrace it, it takes the sting out of death. We find out, I am, after all, my brother's keeper and my sister's as well. Let's close with verses 13 through 18. I don't have a lot to say, but just one thing here. He says, verse 13, hold fast the pattern of sound words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which were in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. In other words, keep the gospel, keep the message, keep the cross. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Wow. Here's a living example of what Paul said. I'm suffering, and the time I needed people more than any other time in my life. There's no, you know, visions, no dramatic angels opening doors and escaping. I'm going to die here. The time I needed friends more than any other time, these two guys left. They ran away. They departed because they couldn't handle it. And sad for them, they happen to be associates of the Apostle Paul, so he puts it in the New Testament, so we know these two guys' names for the next 2,000 years. But on the other hand, he says in verse 16, here's the other way to respond. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day, and you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Look again at verse 17. Here's the positive example. When he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. Who did he find? Who did he search for zealously? A guy that was in prison, a guy that was sentenced to death, a guy that was, you know, a dangerous guy to hang out with. You get close to this guy, that you could end up in prison. You may die. Everybody else was like, whoa, leave Paul alone. Don't get near him. This guy zealously sought him out and found him. Now, I'm not saying that you have people that are, you know, being thrown in jail for their faith, but there are probably people. Human nature is when people are going through really rough times, I won't call them for a while. I won't visit them for a while. Let them get through this rough patch, and then we'll hook up and have great times later. No, if the Spirit of the Lord is inside of you, the moment that they are in trouble, you are drawn to them to minister to them. Not that you have answers, not that you fix their problems, but just maybe to cry with them, to listen to them, see how they're doing, give them a hug, tell them that you've been thinking of them and that you pray for them or whatever is very powerful. Someone has well said that the definition of a friend is that the one who walks in the door the very same day that everyone else walked out the door. That's a real friend. Amen? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Is there someone maybe that you have avoided recently because they're going through a really tough time or rough patch or whatever? And honestly, maybe you have reached out to them and they threw you off, buffeted you. They, you know, didn't want to. People tend to isolate themselves. That's why this one man, Onesiphorus, zealously sought Paul, found him, ministered to him in a variety of ways. That's true love. You see, the irony is if you're ashamed of the cross of Jesus, you're going to be ashamed of your own sufferings and live in denial, and you'll be ashamed of other people's sufferings, and you'll never get involved. Well, the message of Christianity is the opposite. It's very messy, by the way. It'll tear your heart. It'll break your heart. But you will be stretched in depth, in height, in width, and breadth. It's amazing. The one thing about the human heart is you have no idea how far it can stretch, the capacity to which it can go. That's why it's only the human heart ultimately that God himself said, that's where I want to live. God cannot live in buildings. But he did say, I want to live in human hearts made in my image. Father, we come before you and pray that we would not be afraid nor ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ or of suffering, either our own or others, that it will compel us to reach out to you and to draw near to one another and Lord, to become more human and at the same time more like sons and daughters of the living God, more compassionate, more tender, rather than walking by on the other side of the road, getting involved, getting our hands dirty, and literally loving and helping. May this be so. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
An important prayer and an important goal for us. Pastor Ray Bentley with great encouragement today from 2 Timothy here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for Love is Patient. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Again, mention the title, Love is Patient. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Timothy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave, but the Lord kind of spoke to me and he just said, hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy, son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story. And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history. And we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 2 Timothy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.